Heading over now to the British Broadcasting Corporation, I'm speaking to Mark Savage. He's a music reporter for the BBC. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well, Dave. How are you?
Not too bad, my friend. Not too bad. And it sounds like the weather's changed a bit in the UK. It's gone a bit colder now, has it?
It's a bit grey and rainy, I'm afraid. Yeah, it's not like it was for the most of July and the beginning of August, we were basically baking in our own houses.
Yeah, you mustn't grumble. I think you've actually had a good summer all in all, haven't you?
Oh, it's been great, yeah. The kids loved it. I was kind of stuck in an air-conditioned office most of the time, so you had that weird thing of walking from the Arctic right into the middle of the heat wave and your body not being able to cope with the change in temperature.
That's my daily routine here.
I can imagine.
Because of the equipment and so on, in the radio studio, as you know, it's got to be at a certain temperature, so it's 21 degrees the whole year round in here. let's move on then, and of course, the big music news, I suppose, over the last few weeks has been the demise of Aretha Franklin, the death of Aretha Franklin, and a funeral is about to happen, I think, this week.
That's right. It takes place on Friday. The funeral scheduled to last for 5 hours.
Wow.
Which I think is a mark of the respect that she was held with. Respect, of course, not an intentional pun there. But Stevie Wonder, Chaka Khan, Ronald Isley, Ariana Grande, they're all going to be singing and performing at this funeral in Detroit, which is where she was born. Bill Clinton is going to give an address, as is Smokey Robinson and the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I think it's going to be a huge celebration of her life and of her importance, not just in music, but in the civil rights movement, and a very moving event we're expecting.
Yeah, there's not many people that I think, you know, when you use the term legend, it's banded around quite a lot now, but when you talk about the likes of Aretha Franklin, you think to yourself, she's had such an impact and such a talent that she had. There's not many people that I think, you know what, whether they like soul music or not, would have a bad word to say about Aretha Franklin.
Exactly, and I think every singer that has come since is measured against her.
Yeah.
She had an ability to inhabit the emotional core of a song in the way that nobody else did. And I think, you know, two of her most famous songs are cover versions. Respect was originally by Otis Redding, and she, of course, flipped it around and made it a feminist anthem, but you listen to his version, very good.
Yeah.
Hers is absolutely sublime. And similarly with You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, Carole King's version is great, but Aretha Franklin really plumbed into the emotion of that song. And she said that she would never sing anything if she couldn't connect with it. And it's very, very clear. You know, I think a lot of big singers now just belt out the high notes.
Yeah.
And she could do that, but she could also pinpoint these very quiet moments of mournfulness in the middle of a song that made her an incredibly versatile and affecting vocalist, and that's why she is missed.
There's a video on YouTube, I think it was President Barack Obama there as well, and it's Carole King. They're celebrating the life and sounds of Carole King and music. Carole King's there, and people are paying tribute to Carole King. Great songwriter.
Yeah, she was getting the Kennedy Center Medal.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And Aretha comes out and sings a natural, Feel Like a Woman, natural, and it's. And you just see the joy on Carole King's face because you know it meant so much to her that Aretha Franklin would sing that for her. I think really that's it. With all this stuff, I know you work with music all day long, and it's, you know, but really that's what music is at its best, isn't it? It impacts you and it makes your life more enjoyable.
Yes, or it highlights things about your life that you would never otherwise have considered. You know, those songs are the soundtracks to a million breakups or to the moments where you just kind of find your own power within. Aretha could articulate things that you never knew that you felt. And that performance you're talking about as well, of course, so many people forget that she was an incredible pianist as well.
Yeah.
She plays the piano on a lot of her songs, very much like Nina Simone did before her. And it's interesting this week to see she's lying in state. At the moment, I can't think of many other musicians who've been revered so much that has been an honour bestowed upon them. The only other ones I can recall are James Brown and Bob Marley, and that's the level she's sitting at.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is quite amazing. And like you say, you alluded to this earlier on, you watch The Voice or whatever, I'm not knocking that, but so it's very much about how high you can get and so on. And I think a lot of modern singers miss out on that, the emotion that she put in, and I think it's almost like she's acting a role, and that's what you feel. I'm an Elvis fan. I'm Johnny Cash. I'm not so. I mean, Aretha Franklin would not be my usual, but I listen to some Aretha Franklin music. I think to myself, dear, she knew what to do, and she such a great loss, really, and still I think relatively quite young as well.
Yeah, only 76. She had pancreatic cancer, of course, which is one of the more serious and difficult ones to get over. And she was performing pretty much right up to the end. I mean, that Carole King concert was only a couple of years ago, and she still sang with such amazing force.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to play, a bit predictable, but I'm going to play Respect after this, Aretha Franklin, and we may sneak in You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman as well. See how we go for time. Okay, so lovely to talk about such an amazing woman. Ticketmaster closing its ticket resale sites, Seatwave and Get Me in Europe. This has been quite big news over the summer. And what effect is this going to have, Mark, really, on this whole reselling of tickets debacle?
Well, it's not going to shut it down completely, but it certainly takes two of the biggest players out of the market. Ticketmaster, which sells tickets for concerts, as we all know, also own these two subsidiary websites where people, if they couldn't attend a concert anymore, could put their ticket for sale, charge whatever price they wanted, and fans could buy them. And of course, that's then exploited by touts and professional resellers, as they call themselves, who buy up 1,000 tickets the minute a gig goes on sale and sells them for an inflated price. I think Ticketmaster had kind of read the tea leaves, seen that there was regulation coming that was going to stop this or clamp down on it, certainly in Ireland and being considered in the rest of Europe. And obviously there's a huge amount of fan outrage about this. So they got in while the going was still good, declared they were going to shut down these sites and have got some good publicity out of it. But I think actually what it does mean is that there is a prevailing thought in the ticketing industry that they need to improve their image and that fans are not happy about the prices that they're being forced to pay in some instances. And also, I think it also comes after a summer where ticket sales have been kind of suppressed.
Yeah.
Partly because there's been a lot of really big tours. We've had stadium tours, as we talked about before, with Taylor Swift and Foo Fighters and Beyonce and Jay-Z this summer, and the Rolling Stones, of course, all of which have meant that there have been empty seats at stadiums. And part of that, the reasoning goes, is because touts are buying them and then selling them for prices that fans aren't willing to pay anymore. So It's a good publicity move from Ticketmaster, and you kind of hope that it will be mirrored by the other ticket reselling sites. But of course, there's no guarantee that anybody's going to be trying to pull out of that market completely.
It's difficult for law enforcement and legislators because I think in one particular company, which name escapes me, which was European based, I think, but
the British, it's probably the one you're thinking of.
British government were trying to get in touch with them, and they're obviously just ignoring that. The British government are warning you against that website. People like Ed Sheeran, I think, have spoken out quite heavily about this, haven't they? That artists, of course, not happy about this because, they want their music to be accessible.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, they set prices that they think are reasonable based on the production that they're putting on and based on the number of people they employ, the size of the venue and what they think their fans might be able to afford. And so when they see somebody being charged £1,000 for a ticket that originally cost £100, they're quite rightly outraged by that, especially if those seats then go empty, which affects the atmosphere within a gig.
Yeah.
So yes, you're right. Ed Sheeran this summer, he made a concerted effort to cancel any tickets that were being resold on sites, including Seatwave and Get Me In, although actually they came to an understanding whereby Seatwave and Get Me In, which are owned by Ticketmaster, blocked any listings for Ed Sheeran's concerts. Viagogo was one that defied his request to block those resales, and he then cancelled his tickets, and fans turned up to the gigs, couldn't get in, but he also had set up a system whereby they could take their cancelled ticket to the box office and they would get a new one for face value and then be able to chase Viagogo for a refund. But it's an interesting and shady market, I guess, at the moment, that a lot of governments are trying to tackle and regulate. And like you say, some of the companies aren't that keen on sitting down and working out a good regulatory framework.
No, because I think they're making quite a bit of money out of it. That's the problem, isn't it? Yes, all said and done. Let's hope that that's a step in the right direction, hopefully, because I think we've all been affected by this. When you've gone to get a ticket for somewhere and you already think maybe the ticket's probably a little bit too high in the first place, and then suddenly you see some prices for it, or you just simply cannot get a hold of a ticket, which is another issue. So hopefully that will change. And some new music on the way from Prince.
Yes, of course, it's 2 years since Prince sadly died, very young as well. And for years, people have known about this vault of material that is sitting in his recording studios in Paisley Park in Minneapolis, filled with, legend has it, thousands and thousands of songs that he held back that he felt were maybe too personal or weren't quite ready to be released, or just projects that he completed and then shelved because he had a better idea. The first proper release from that vault is coming out in about 4 weeks. It's called Piano and a Microphone, and it's literally just about 40 minutes of Prince sitting at a piano and improvising as he rehearsed for a tour. And it's quite unusual. Like, people thought maybe there would be a lost album or something a bit more polished that came out first. And some of the quality of this music, you know, it feels a little bit like it's come off a cassette. It's there's a couple of dips where the sound drops out and stuff. But to hear him unvarnished and completely playing off the cuff, as it were, is absolutely fascinating. And he's playing songs like Nothing Compares to You and Purple Rain, just sitting at a piano off the top of his head. And it's a real indicator of what kind of treasures are lying in this store. And similar to that, just over the past couple of weeks, Sony, who have bought all of Prince's later period albums, the ones that people probably don't know that well, have put them on streaming services for the first time. So there's now 23 albums have been added to streaming services in the last couple of weeks for fans to plough through, which includes stuff that was only released online through his fan club. And there's an entire instrumental jazz album that he recorded in the early 2000s, and outtakes from when he was playing with the Revolution. So there's this huge glut of Prince material coming through. Some of it is atrocious, and some of it is absolutely brilliant. There's an album from 2001, a Jehovah's Witness themed jazz album,
wow,
called Rainbow Children, which is every bit as good as that description makes it sound bad.
Wow. I'm not the massive Prince fan myself, so I'm sure, but there are certain songs I love of his, of course, which are great songs. Nevertheless, my only theory when you were talking about the piano one was how much would he have wanted this to happen? Would he have wanted it to come out? I suppose we'll never know, really, the answer to that question.
Certainly he kept the vault for a reason, and he had talked about stuff being released posthumously. There was a point in the late 90s where he released a 3-CD collection of music from the vault that he kind of went back over again and retouched to get it the way he wanted it. And he talked about releasing further collections like that, but never really got round to it. So there's definitely stuff in there he would like to be released, and I get the impression that people that are overseeing and cataloguing this material are doing it with a deal of sensitivity and care. But you're right, would he necessarily want people to hear a rehearsal? It's hard to know.
Yeah, well, the thing is, people want to hear it, don't they? It's like, you know, Elvis rehearsing, you know, in the 70s wouldn't have really got much interest, but now it's people are wanting all the backstage material and unseen footage and all this sort of stuff. But it's...
You think about the Grateful Dead, people who collect, you know, dozens and dozens of concerts where the set lists only vary a little bit from night to night, but in each of those concerts there might be a definitive version of a particular song.
There's just a slight difference, whatever may take place. Well, Mark, as always, love listening to you, because your passion for music always comes across, and it's great to have you on. If anybody wants to get in touch with you and find out a bit more, follow you, get the latest on what's happening in the world of music and so on, how can they do that?
They can go to Twitter and type in @MrDiscoPop.
Good stuff. Are you busy at the moment at the BBC there?
Well, yeah, it's a busy in September. We've got the last night of the proms, and then Radio 2 has a big festival in Hyde Park. BBC Music Day happens on September the 28th. The Mercury Prize is coming up. You know, just a few small things.
All right, just nothing too much, and just a couple of days out here and there. All right, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Mark, as always.